Everyone to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. And it's a joy to be with you today. I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister, and I will be joined by a couple of people from our radio team in just a few moments. Nathan, are you on the line with me now?
I am.
All right. It's a joy to be on the show, isn't it? It's fun to be able just to talk about God and have the freedom of speech and everything to really just explain what God's doing in our lives and to just have that, well, the freedom. That's the word that just keeps coming to me, the freedom to do this.
Amen.
It is. Amen. That's a good way to say it. Yes. And God's doing a lot of things in people's lives. We just give him the glory and the praise and answering a lot of prayers. We have so many praise reports of answers to prayer. We have people that have been healed physically. A lot of stuff going on in people's lives emotionally. And God is just helping and moving in people's life situations. And it's a joy to hear those praise reports. And just to remember what God is doing, Nathan, it really is. And how when we come to him in prayer and faith believing, he hears our prayer, you know?
Amen. Yes, he does.
Yes, he does. And so, you know, it's a joy to know that he's right there with us all the time, every day, all the time. And do we have a good service today at Beacon of Hope?
Oh, yes, it was.
You know, I guess our audience probably thinks we always say that, but it's true. We always have great services, don't you think?
Yes, we do.
You know, it's just, yes, there was a powerful move of God's Holy Spirit. We had just amazing time together. So
he always shows up.
He always shows up. Absolutely, he does. You know, he just looks for willing vessels, Nathan, that will say, you know, Lord, use me, you know, speak through me, sing through me. Speak your word, whatever it is. He's looking for willing vessels. Not everybody's willing, though, are they, Nathan?
No, they're not. That's true.
Well,
some people, I think, are afraid.
Yeah, they are. And we're going to talk about that fear here in a little while in the book of 2 Timothy. But it is true that it's not easy. Although it's amazingly wonderful, it's still not easy to take a stand for God in our lives, to fulfill the calling of God on our lives. It can be very difficult, and it can be something that people have a hard time following through with, you know?
Yes, we can. Yes, it is.
You know, we're going to go back to 2 Timothy, and we're going to talk about that in just a few minutes. So those of you out there that are listening in, you can grab your Bible if you like. And this whole book of 2 Timothy has been heavy on my heart this week. And there's just so many wonderful truths in this book. So we started a new series today called The Focus of Faith. And how important both of those words are, faith and us focusing on our faith, and what are we going to do with that focus, and how do we stay focused? Nathan, there's all kinds of things in our lives that try to distract us, right?
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
Devil is busy.
Well, he is. Yeah, he is. He's out there all the time trying to bring discouragement and trying to cause problems in our lives and to get our focus on those problems and on those issues and on the things that are just entanglements, you know? It reminds me, Nathan, of 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. And I love this verse. It says that Jesus came to undo the works of the devil. Because, and that word in the original Greek is luo, L-U-O, which means to untie, to pull apart, to dissolve the works of the devil. Because we know the devil's always out there working to try to trip us up. Do you want to comment on that?
Well, I know it's true because there's so many things that happen in life that are distractions, disturbances, distressings.
Right.
You know, things that he throws in our way, in our path. And it's just, you know, he tries to get our focus off of our faith.
Right. Absolutely he does. I mean, that's exactly what he does. Because if he can get us focused over here on all the problems, all the issues, all the negative stuff going on in us and around us, he has us right where he wants us.
Right.
And where does he want us? Where does he want us, Nathan? Where does the devil want us as Christians to hang out?
Well, he wants us entangled in sin.
Exactly. And like worry, fear, that stuff is sin, you know? He wants us entangled in it. You've been there, I've been there. There have been times in our lives where we have just gotten so caught up in the pressures of life and the problems of the moment that we really, we're just hardly at all walking in faith, you know?
That's true.
You know, it's easy to get that way. It is easy to get entangled. And so that's why 1 John 3:8 says that Jesus came for this purpose, that he might undo the works of the devil, to release us from the bondages that the devil throws at us. And he does that through just common everyday things, worries, anxieties, fears, stress, you know. All of this stuff can just pull us down and divert our attention. So often, that's the goal of the devil, you know?
Yep.
So our responsibility is to stay grounded, and our responsibility is to develop our focus. Our responsibility is to get so into God, consumed by God's presence in our lives, knowing that he loves us and has a plan for us. And that's our purpose. That's what we got to do. We've got to develop that focus so that our focus is on the things of God, God's faith, his mercy, his love, all those things, and we've got to grow all that on the inside of us.
Growing the fruit of the Spirit.
That's what we're talking about. Yeah, Galatians 5:22-23, you're right. The fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, all of it. And he must become the center of everything. We're going to talk in detail about this in a moment. We've got a great new song here, Center of It, by Chris August. Listen to this, and then we'll get back to talking about 2 Timothy.
Some days I'm feeling like I can't win, can't get it right. Don't matter how hard I try, today is not my day. When it feels like I'm going crazy and it looks like nothing's changing, come sun, come rainy day, you are still the same. In the dark, in the light, in the morning. For me, when it feels like the doors are closing, gotta trust that you're doing something. Come sun, come rainy day, you are all I need. In the dark, in the light, in the morning and night, in the good, in the hurt, in the places I hide. When I rise, when I fall, you'll be there through it all. At the start, at the end, in the center of center of it. There will be days I will forget everything you've done for me. But when I go back there again, I'm reminded in the dark, in the light, in the morning.
Ooh, that's a good song. That's a new one by Chris August, Center of It. And that's where God wants to be, in the very center of our lives. And we're going to talk about that focus today on living the good life. We start in 2 Timothy, and Nathan, I'll come back to you in just a minute, and you can be throwing in your comments as you can here. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul is writing this letter to Timothy, and he was somebody that Paul had trained in the ministry. He felt very close to him. He was like his son. And Paul starts talking about, at the beginning of 2 Timothy, just about how special Timothy is to him. And Paul also describes that he's on special assignment. I'm in the Message Bible here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul was on a special assignment from Christ to carry out God's plan that was laid out for him by the Lord. What God had intended for Paul to accomplish in this life. And so he begins to admonish Timothy, his son in the Lord. And he says, I love you so much. I just want you to understand how important it is that you fulfill God's plan for your life. And as I walked into the station today, there was a greeting card here on the sound system, and came from somebody that that I know that had actually helped take care of my mother a few years back. And this person left this wonderful card for me because my mother passed away about a week and a half ago. And in this, at the beginning of this card, it was quoting that scripture that is the basis for this radio show on living the good life. And that is what God says to us in Jeremiah 29:11-14. For I know the plans I have for you. Plans to give you a future and a hope to bless you. And it was all quoted on that card. And I thought, oh, how appropriate. That's the theme for this radio show for all these years we've been on this station, that God has a plan for our lives. And Paul is saying to his son in the Lord, Timothy, you know what? God's got a plan for you, Timothy. God has something he wants you to do. And I remember your honest faith. He's talking to Timothy about, and he says, I remember about your grandmother and your mother and how that was passed down to you. Nathan, it's pretty cool that some of us have grown up in the ministry with families that were in the ministry. You had that happen to you. I had that happen to me. It's a wonderful blessing, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And that's really what, you know, Timothy is admonished here by Paul. Remember what heritage your ancestors gave you, you know? You grew up playing the piano in church, didn't you, at a very, very young age? Weren't you?
I did.
Yeah, I mean, you were pretty young. And remembering all of that and knowing the heritage that you have and that I have, that heritage of faith that causes us to know God at a young age. And this is what Paul was reminding Timothy. Timothy, you've known the Lord at such a young age. You've known him clear back, and you have a special gift. Now, a lot of times, Nathan, I think we think of our gifts as outward things that people can see, Like, for instance, the ability to play the piano or the ability to play another instrument or something like that. That's not always what God's talking about here, is it? He's not always talking about a musical talent.
No, he's not. No, he's not.
Instead, so often, he's talking about the heritage of faith that we have down on the inside of us and the gift of God's Holy Spirit that he's given us that he wants us to use for his kingdom. And it's very difficult sometimes for people to comprehend how much God wants to use them. I mean, it's like I think the devil so often has kind of lulled people into a complacent state, into a laziness of thinking that, you know, God can't use them if they don't have some showy ministry gift. Do you want to comment on any of that?
Well, yeah, I think there are many people that are in the Christian body that feel that unless they can preach or unless they can teach or unless they can play an instrument or unless they can lead music, that they really have no business.
Right.
In the Christian outreach, they have no talent, no gift.
Right.
And I believe that everyone is given a gift.
Absolutely. And we have the gift of God's presence on the inside of us, you know,
yes,
developing us into all that we can be. And but, yeah, I agree with you. I think there's a lot of people that equate ministry with just musical talent or a preaching gift or something like that. And so often people don't even recognize that they have the ability to reach out in compassion to someone, to reach out and be a sounding board, to be a voice of reason, to be somebody that somebody can rely on or trust. These are all important parts of the body of Christ and the ministry that we have. Somebody that greets people with a warm hello and how are you and all that is so important in the body of Christ, don't you think?
Yes, I think so. Oh, yes. I mean, showing love.
Right.
Showing love and showing acceptance.
Exactly.
And saying that, you know, welcome, you know, walking. This is a safe and loving place.
Right.
This is God's house. And
right.
God welcomes you.
Amen. Yeah. And Paul's going ahead here and talking to Timothy. I'm about down in verse, 6 or 7 of 2 Timothy 1. And he says, you have a special gift of ministry that you received when I laid hands on you and prayed. So many people have been in services, have been in maybe an evangelistic tent meeting. I mean, those were of the days gone by, but, or a big place where there's been a lot of ministry to them, and maybe somebody actually did lay their hands on this person or whoever, lay their hands on them and pray over them and just speak words of encouragement, words of wisdom, words of strength. And so often, even when we receive ministry like that, life takes its toll, and it's easy to forget all the blessings that were just bestowed on you when somebody did lay their hands on you and pray over you.
Yeah.
It's hard sometimes to remember how important it is to receive ministry from God's anointed people that are there to do that. You've been prayed over many times, right, Nathan? What's it do for you? What's it do for you when you receive ministry? Because Paul ministered to Timothy. So go ahead.
Well, whenever I receive ministry, it always emblazons me. It just makes me, it encourages me, and it just puts a fire inside of me.
Right. It does,
and
doesn't it?
It reminds me of whose child I am and that the ministry and the purpose that he's put in my life.
Right.
And also, I mean, there have been prophecy over me that,
sure,
some of it's been fulfilled, but some of it has not.
Right.
I'm looking forward to it because, I mean, I believe it was from God.
Right. Absolutely.
And the proof in the pudding is that when it happens, you know it was from God.
Absolutely. Right. Amen. And this is what had happened to Timothy. Paul had laid his hands on him, probably in some meeting they had, a prayer meeting, a service, whatever. He laid his hands on him and he prayed for him. And at that time, there was there was a special gift of ministry that went into Timothy, and God anointed Timothy for a special task of what he was going to do for God's kingdom. And Paul is saying to Timothy here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, about verse 6 or 7, you know, it's easy to forget those blessings that have been prayed over you. It's easy to get caught up in life's daily struggles. It's easy to get our focus off of God's plan for our lives. Nathan, talk to me a minute about the devil and how he's all the time trying to get our focus. I mean, just tell me what you know, talk to me about that, because I know it to be true. I know. Well, I've lived it.
His attacks are very real.
Right.
I mean, he attacks us physically. He attacks us emotionally. And he attacks us spiritually.
Right, he does.
He'll accuse us, you know, of failures, past failures.
Right.
You know, just different things that we know when he says it, we agree with him.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, you're right about that.
You're talking about condemnation, right? And shame.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
The more we agree with him, the more we fall into condemnation.
Right.
And the more we lose faith.
Right. It destroys our faith. When we fall into those traps of condemnation that the devil throws at us and guilt for our past, when we fall into old shame and all of that, it's exactly where the devil wants us. Because if he can stop the forward progress of the gospel, if he can stop you or me from ministering life to people, love to people, joy to people, encouragement to people, if he can stop us from doing that and get us so entangled in our own minds, you know, you hear me say this word a lot, our mindset. Our mindset can get so negative. Oh, talk about that, Nathan. Talk about that. That mindset.
Well, if our mindset is negative, we can't have faith.
Right.
You know, and negative people can bring you down.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Negative talk, negative actions.
Right.
Interference, distressing, you know, depression.
Right. All those things.
You know, and so we have to keep our mind set on Christ. We have to keep our mind set on his calling.
Amen. How hard is it to fight that stuff, Nathan, realistically? I mean, you know, we know that we have to fight with the word, and I'm going to bring up some scriptures in a minute that we can use. So some of you out there, get a pen and a paper, because I'm going to bring some scriptures to you that you can use to fight the devil's onslaught in your mind and telling you that you can't be used of God, that, you know, you've done this, you've done that, you're not this, you're not that. I mean, don't you think, Nathan, that this is a huge problem in the body of Christ?
Yes, a tremendous problem.
Why do you think that? I've got my ideas, but I want to hear what you think. Why this is such a huge problem?
I think it's such a huge problem because Satan, his first plot is to keep you from getting saved.
Right.
But once you're saved, then it's to keep you from being effective.
Exactly. Effective.
So he,
yes.
Know, he fights against us in every way that he can,
right.
And it's a spiritual battle. It's a spiritual battle. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against things in the spirit. He attacks our emotions. He attacks our thought life.
He does.
You know, that's where the battleground is.
Right.
And so that's where he comes to attack us and to try to bring us down, to try to defeat us. And I think he does that to everyone.
Yeah, I think he does too.
Everyone in the kingdom.
But don't you think a lot of people aren't even aware what's going on?
Oh, sure. Totally not aware. So just like, you know, out of just oblivious, because they just think that's life. That's
right.
The way life is. And they don't realize that it's a battle against the enemy.
Absolutely.
And that they have tools available to them, and they have the power of God available to them to do battle against the enemy and to win.
Absolutely. Here's one of the first verses I want to give y'all listening audience about this, conquering your thought life. Revelation 12, 10 through 12, Jesus calls Satan the accuser of the brethren. And it is so, so serious and so, so real that we understand that the devil is always trying to accuse you to yourself. And that's what Nathan and I were just talking about in the area of condemnation, reminding you of past failures. Here's a scripture you need to put in your arsenal of scriptures that are going to help you. Psalm 103. In fact, the whole psalm is amazing, but Psalm 103 talks about that in about verse 10. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, how is his great love for us? And as far as the east is from the west, has he removed our transgressions from us? And so you need some of these kinds of scriptures to get down on the inside of you. Psalm 103 is an excellent psalm. David wrote it. It reminds us in the first couple verses, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget none of his benefits. He heals all your diseases and he forgives all your iniquities. And, you know, it's not like that God is hanging around here and reminding you, oh, you messed up the other day on this, da, da, da. The Holy Spirit will convict you of sin. The Holy Spirit will prick your heart and remind you that, hey, that was not of God, what you just said or what you just did. But the devil is the one that comes back even after you've asked God to forgive you, and he brings this condemnation. He's the accuser of the brethren. That's his job. You want to comment on that, Nathan? Because I think this is a huge problem in the body of Christ.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, the way he keeps us defeated is by reminding us of our past.
Right.
And I like what you've taught on in, you know, different times you've taught on, that God is present future.
Yes, he is.
Where Satan is present past.
Amen. Do you want to explain that to our listening audience, what that means?
Well, just that. God is always doing something for us in our future, and he's always building us to a better future.
Amen.
And he does toss our sins as far away as the east is from the west.
Right.
Into the deepest sea, and he looks at him no more. He doesn't, we continually go to him and say, God, I'm really sorry I did that. And he'll say, did what?
Right.
Think about it, you know.
Right.
He doesn't even remember it because he's forgiven us, and he so completely wipes us clean that there's no thought of it in his mind. There's
right.
no memory of it. And so, you know, the enemy, of course, being the accuser of the brethren, he's just constantly trying to remind us, you did such and such, or you did this, or you did that, and, you know, and you call yourself a Christian.
Right.
And
condemnation.
Like, oh, yeah, big time. And so we have to take a stand against condemnation. We have to take a stand against that.
We got to refocus.
And refocus our faith.
Exactly.
Our faith is in the Word of God.
Amen.
God's Word says there is therefore now no condemnation.
That's right, Romans 8:1, and that's our responsibility. Nobody can do that for you. I can get up in the pulpit like I did today, Nathan, and I can remind all of you, hey, we got to focus. We got to stay focused on this journey. We got to stay focused on the gifts that God has given us. We got to stay focused on what God says about us. But ultimately, Nathan, it comes down to, when the devil starts his accusations, when he starts the condemnation, when he starts beating your head in with defeat and discouragement, and you just want to crawl up in a little ball and go to sleep and sleep away your problems, that is not God. God doesn't want you wasting your time just crawling up in a ball and giving up, you know?
No, he doesn't. Especially since he gives us so many weapons.
Right.
And he gives us his word.
Gives us his word. Oh, my heavens. The scripture, you know, the promises. Absolutely.
Yes, and with his word, we can defeat the enemy.
Absolutely.
You know, we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony.
That you just quoted Revelation 12:10-12. We overcome that accuser of the brethren by the blood of Jesus, knowing what Jesus already did for us and forgave us for our sin, and the word of our testimony. So amplify on that. What does that mean, the word of our testimony?
Well, our confession, what we say.
Right.
You know, often we are careless with our words.
Right.
And because we are created in the image of God, our words have power.
Such power.
God's power. And so therefore, I mean, it has the power to convict. It has the power to lift up. It has
right.
the power to, you know, we have power
right.
to create in our lives the things that God wants in our lives
right.
by the words of our testimony, by the things that we say. And the things that we should say are the things that are most helpful to us are when we're saying the word of God. We're agreeing with the word of God.
Absolutely. But that being true, and that is where our focus needs to be, most people struggle with this, Nathan, because perhaps they are influenced greatly by somebody, a friend, a relative, somebody in their life that every time they turn around is speaking negativity to them, is speaking words of discouragement. Oh, you'll never amount to anything. Or, that's never going to work out good for you. Or, no, God doesn't hear you. You know, on and on and on. I've had people like that in my life, haven't you?
Yes, I have. I mean, my own parents.
Right, right. Yeah, sometimes our own family members around us can bring yeah. negativity into our lives, and we go down a path of, oh, this is so horrible. And the more we speak how horrible that is, whatever it is, the worse it does get. Because there's power in our words, like you just said, you know?
Yeah.
And I love that Paul says to Timothy, his spiritual son here, he says, don't forget that I laid my hands on you. I ministered to you. I prayed over you. You had gifts put into you by the Holy Spirit, and you've got to cultivate those gifts. Now, we're not talking here about, how do I say this? We're talking here about the gifts of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7 in the New American Standard said, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And here is what Paul was reminding Timothy. You know, you've got a sound mind. No matter what the devil's trying to tell you, you've got a sound mind because it was put in you. You know, by the Holy Spirit. You have power. You have power to overcome the situations going on in your life. You have love on the inside of you. Romans 5:5 says that God's love was shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us. We have that love. If you're having a hard time with an attitude, with a bitterness, with an unforgiveness, with a hatred, a resentment, that's not from God. Because you've got the seeds of God's love on the inside of you. You got to learn to cultivate them and bring them out and make them stronger than the negative junk that's coming at you.
Yes.
Yes.
God's love, as a matter of fact, can it truly make you love someone who is your enemy?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
Truly love someone who is against you.
Right.
Someone that has done harm to you or tried to destroy you.
Right.
You can truly reach out to them in love.
You definitely can.
Go
ahead.
I'm experiencing that. I'm experiencing that as I'm growing in the Lord and really truly yielding past hurts and past, you know, negative things that have happened to be yielding those things and giving them, putting them in his hands and trusting him to take care of it. And he is replacing it with love.
Absolutely.
Passion. I mean, true compassion for a person that I would wish them well, that I would pray for their blessing upon their life, you know, and that they would have success in life. And that, you know, there's no there's no animosity. There's nothing negative inside of me towards these people.
Right, exactly. You know, there's so many times in our lives, Nathan, that we get carried down a path of resentments because the devil wants us to be full of hatred, resentment, all of that stuff. And we can so easily go down that path, and the devil will make it so believable within us that, wow, so-and-so did this awful thing. This is just terrible. This is whatever. And it magnifies, and it gets worse, and it gets worse. And it grows a field of yuck down on the inside of us. You know what I mean?
Oh, yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I've been there. I have been there. I have been in a place where I've been in the pit.
Right.
And just wallowed in the mud.
Absolutely.
Of harm that people have done to me and things that people have said about me and things that people, I mean, just different things that have caused great harm in my life.
Right.
And I've wallowed in the pit of self-pity.
Self-pity.
And of anger.
Yes.
And of discouragement,
right,
and
right.
Hatred. You know, I wallowed in that stuff, and I don't like it.
Well, it doesn't make you feel happy and cheerful and blessed.
No, it doesn't.
Because the devil he's so cunning. He gets us pulled into or sucked into somebody's negativity or just the suggestions. He's just a master of suggestions into our brain, you know? And he'll get you pulled into a path of thinking where maybe it's paranoia, you know, or it gets you down thinking, okay, everybody's against me. You know, that old poem that my mother used to say that you've heard me say many times, Nathan, nobody loves me, everybody hates me, I think I'll go eat worms. You know, that whole concept, you know, she used to say that when we were kids, and we'd say, I don't talk like that, you know. But the devil loves to take us down that kind of a path where we are immersed in such crud. I don't know a better word to say. I mean, just filled with the anger, the rage, the resentment, the hatred, whatever it might be. And maybe in some cases, we have a right to be angry about something that was said or something that was done. But when we don't stop it right there, we get into further complications and problems. Do you want to comment on that?
In the muck.
We do. We get, you know, David says in one of the Psalms that he pulls me out of that miry clay and sets my feet on a rock firm, Jesus. And I really think that that can very easily apply right here. That can be a quicksand, if you will. You know, you've seen movies where cowboys, you know, of yesteryear would be riding along, and then there's this great big old place of quicksand, and their horse goes down, and they go down, and they're going down, and they can't seem to get out of it. You know, and along comes the good cowboy in the white hat or whatever and pulls the guy out. But, you know, Jesus is that for us. He's the one that wants to reach down, pull us out of that miry clay, the quicksand of negativity and accusation, and pull us up and stand us up and say, wait a minute, let's rethink this. And do you really want to get into that self-pity party where nobody is going to come to your party? You know? I know people don't want to go to my self-pity parties. You know what I'm saying, Nathan?
Yes, I do. I do.
But, you know, here's Paul saying to Timothy, don't neglect the gift that was prayed over you and given to you, the gift of the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 1:7, here's what Paul says to Timothy, and then we're going to bring Carol in here after we do a song in just a minute. Paul says to Timothy, don't forget this gift. Don't neglect it. In fact, he says, keep it ablaze. Fan that fire. Get some air to that fire, you know, and keep it stirred up, the gift that God has given you, which is power, love, and a sound mind. Whoa, we're going to talk more about that in a few minutes. But, you know, when you have a bonfire, when I was up in Indiana recently with my grandkids, Nathan, even though it was summertime, they have an area out in their woods where my grandkids are teenagers now, and they have parties and, you know, sleepovers, campouts, and things like that. And my son had built a great big circle, you know, for firewood. And when I got there, it was June, okay? And they said, come on, Nana, we're going out to the woods. And I said, oh, what are we going to do in the woods? It's kind of hot. And they said, oh, we're going to have a fire. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, really? You know? But as the evening in Indiana cooled off, and it did, here we were, my grandsons were building this wonderful fire. And we began to sit around and tell stories. We began to make s'mores. You know what those are, don't you, Nathan?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's Hershey bars and graham crackers and marshmallows. And we were roasting all that. And we just had such a good time. And the fire would start to go out. And then my grandson, Justin, would have to start fanning it. He would have to start adding some air to it, you know what I'm saying, or add an extra log to keep that fire going. And that party around the fire pit was lasted for hours and hours, to the point that even other family members, extended family, showed up. And it was a huge party around the bonfire. The center focus was the fire, okay? That's what we were watching. That's what we were all sitting around. The center focus of our lives has got to be the fire and presence of Almighty God on the inside of us, bringing us those things that Paul says to Timothy: power, love, and a sound mind.
Amen.
Ooh. Do you have a comment on that before we do this new song by Sela?
Well, I think you said it all.
I'm on a roll. I don't know, Nathan. I'm just on a roll here. All right. Listen to this new song, I Turn to You, and then Carol will join us.
When I'm far away from home, starts to blow, when I'm empty and alone, I turn to you. When there's hardness in my heart, and I can't see the truth, I turn to you. And here in your holy presence, it's all that I can.
turn to you. I turn to you to let go of the past. I turn to you. And that's what it's all about. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we have to turn to God. We have to turn to Him when that negative stream of thought and or things people say to us comes to us. It's going to defeat us. It's going to tear at our peace and our joy. Carol, give us your thoughts, and I'll go back to Nathan on this whole concept. Go ahead.
Well, I think that the basic thing that I am hearing and that I have experienced, and I know each of you have experienced, is that tongues of envy, jealousy, hate, the tongues of fire against God's chosen seek only destruction,
yeah,
to strike fear, seek
right
to discourage, seek to disavow your calling, and seek to disavow your gifts, and really seek to destroy you.
Right.
Because they don't, they, whoever they are, and right now we all know who they are, they don't choose to walk in the path of righteousness and learn what their gifts are and accept them and lay claim to them and do them to the very best of their abilities.
Well, it's easier.
They'd rather cause dissent and
right
discouragement. They'd rather say, well, you know, in any pastor's life, I can assure you, there have been people in the church who didn't like the color of the carpet, and there was a disagreement, and because somebody wanted red and somebody wanted purple, the church split over it.
Right.
There are somebodies in the church today, alive and well, breathing the hate and the discord to take God's people from one place, which is moving toward His kingdom and being able to do what He's taught us and asked us to do, to take us to the other side of total fear, destruction, discouragement, and they don't want to do anything other than that.
Well, the devil's always working. It doesn't matter what ministry, what church, whatever. I've grown up in the ministry, grown up in churches and seen this all my life, where the devil will do his best to pull people over to the side of accusation and negativity, and pretty soon this one's mad at that one, this one again doesn't like the color of something, or this one wants this done a different way. And the whole body of Christ is supposed to walk in unity. And
I love this one,
you know,
when they say, you know, I go to that church but I don't like the music.
Right.
I mean, there's a church up here that we went to one Easter Sunday, as a matter of fact. I thought it was a little high church, which I happened to enjoy.
Right.
And as we were sitting there, I was having a jolly good time enjoying it. I was really into the message and into the Spirit of Christ and the music and the talent that was, and the openness of everybody that knew what their gifts were, and they were walking in them, and they were sharing them
cool
with people and greeting
cool
people and hugging people they'd never seen before, including
right
me.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, we get out in the car, and I am so high on the service and everything I just heard and seen, I was kind of like, I'm kind of flying. And the first thing I heard when I sat down in the car, because there were two people with us, I sat down in the car, and I heard immediately, it was too cold in there. The seats were too hard.
Mm-hmm.
The music, did you hear that music? You know, I like guitars and drums, and I like a little bit more kind of a country type. And I'm saying, did anybody in here hear the message?
Right.
Did anybody in here see any of God's people doing their gifts to His glory?
Well, that's it right there. You're saying that. And what happens is, it's too easy for human nature to get caught up in those outward appearance things, and other things that people don't think somebody's doing it the way they think they should. And that's why I want to bring us back here to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, because Paul says to Timothy, don't neglect this gift that God gave you. Keep it ablaze. Keep it on fire, like the fire pit I was talking about before that song. And it says in the Message Bible, God doesn't want us to be shy with His gifts. And in the New American Standard, it says God has not given us a spirit of fear.
That's right.
But power, love, and a sound mind. And so,
why do we fear people who
we do
absolutely have no respect for any of God's people, especially those that he has brought into leadership. Let me tell you, in my lifetime in churches, and it's been a long time since we all know I'm older than dirt now.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, what has happened when someone doesn't think I am worthy, or you are worthy, or Nathan is worthy to be the messenger that God sent? Number one, I didn't raise my hand and volunteer and say, oh, Lord, let me have all this persecution. I want somebody to just run over me and malign me. Please let me be first in line, Jesus.
I know, we don't. But yes, when we answer the call of God, we really do that, though, Carol.
Yes, we do.
Really do say, yes, Lord, I'll do it.
None of us stood up and said, call me right now. You want to go. It doesn't work that way. He calls who he needs and who he wants, the people that love him, the people that hear his voice.
Right.
People that say, here I am, Lord, call me.
Right.
I'll go. What do you need done, Lord? Let me be the first to go. And as the Lord is saying to us in our hearts, I need someone to do a hospital ministry. And the person that receives that and that knows it in their heart is waving to the pastor, hey, I'll catch you Wednesday night. I've got to go to the hospital. I've got this ministry God laid on my heart.
And that's exactly what we have to do, even though we are told, Jesus talked about it all through the New Testament, the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that if you do God's work and you're out there on the front lines, you're going to have to endure hardship. And we're going to talk about that next Sunday more on the radio. Nathan, comment on what Carol is talking here about. This is really good stuff. And for especially people out there in our listening audience that maybe have been hurt by people in churches, leaders in church. I mean, people are human. We're not perfect. Leaders are not perfect. We don't always do the right thing. We try, but we do make mistakes. Nathan, you want to comment?
Well, I've been there. I've been there many times.
You mean hurt by people in ministry? Sure.
Church.
Right.
The spirit of deception has been at work in my life many, many times, and it hurts.
Right. It does hurt.
You know, I think it's one of the deepest hurts. It cuts like a sharp knife right to your very, if your heart had a bone, that knife would hit the bone in your heart.
Right.
Because, you know, like Nathan, for instance, Nathan's heart is pure and good and Christ-centered.
Right.
And yet, because his music is a gift and it is something that just happens when he's playing, there are some people who will later come back and say, well, you know, I wish we could do more of this and have a choir, yada, yada. People, you just sat and heard an anointed child of God do what God has ordained him to do.
Well, and operating in your gift. The thing that really, I think the bottom line here is that it may not even be reasonable sometimes, the things that the devil speaks through people. I mean, sometimes it may not even be right. It may not be reasonable. It may not even be true. But what the devil's goal always is to stir up and keep our focus on the negative accusations and the negativity and that whole line of thought, and keep us out of the center of God's will for us. And I find that was so interesting because we played that song at the beginning here, the center of it. The center of it is all Jesus. That's what it is. Are we growing the Spirit of God in our lives? Are we allowing God to do the work in us and refine us and change us and root out the junk and pull the weeds out of our hearts? You know, the weeds of unforgiveness and hostility and anger and hatred and all that stuff. Are we allowing God's Holy Spirit to pull that junk out? Or are we falling in line with the devil's tactics? Nathan, you comment on it, and I'll get to Carol in a minute. Go ahead.
Well, many, many times people fall in line with the devil's tactics.
Right.
Because it's easier. It's human nature.
Right.
It's human nature, especially jealousy crops up in church all the time.
All the time, yeah.
And when they see someone that's talented or gifted in some area, then jealousy crops up and criticism crops up.
Exactly.
and then all kinds of crap crops up.
crap crops up. Yeah, it's hard to say, isn't it? Yeah. Right. Exactly.
You know, and people begin to say things about you or to bring you down or to put you down. You know, it's because of jealousy.
Right.
Because the enemy puts it in their heart.
Right.
To destroy, you know, rather than to get on the bandwagon and join in and help out, you know, rather than doing that, they'd rather be a burden and distraction and I don't know. You know, if you don't want to be a target, don't minister.
Well, isn't that the truth?
Operate in the gift that God has given to you.
Absolutely. Carol, comment on that, and then we're going to switch gears here for just a second.
Well, I think what is happening and what I have seen in my experiences is that whoever we are, whether it be the pastor, a musician, whether it be someone like myself who tries to serve in different and other ways, we find ourselves allowing the ungodly to unravel our spirituality.
Boy, that's true.
And intimidate us into
right.
whatever
yes.
they think they want us
right.
to be.
Right.
I decided a long time ago, it was on my trip up here that God and I talked a long time. And one of the things I came up with, and I've stuck to it, is I will never again in my life allow one negative person to influence me in any way and not give them 1 minute of my time if I don't choose to do it.
Right.
I have said to people, when they would say something that was negative toward me or toward God, I put my hand up. I said, in the blessed name of Jesus Christ, I hear you, but you're not taking 1 minute of my time. I don't choose to give it to you.
Well, that's taking a stand for righteousness' sake. That's saying, I'm not going down that path.
What are they going to do? They're going to browbeat you, cause concern in yourself, cause fear in yourself, cause you to question your own gifts and your own spirituality, cause you to think, am I really worthy to carry the mantle of Christ into this world?
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
Who are they to question?
Exactly.
They question because they don't recognize their own gifts. They want to cut other people down.
Yeah, human nature does that.
That I really firmly believe in is becoming deaf. Yeah. I think being deaf is a gift, and in many ways.
Deaf? Oh, I thought you said dead.
Being physically deaf or being spiritually deaf.
Just not listening to it.
Emotionally deaf.
Right.
Because when you are, the only voice you can hear is the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking to you.
Yep. We're going to switch gears now on the next hour and talk about the positive stuff. We've pointed out what the devil tries to do here. We're going to talk about what God is trying to do to reroute our focus. And Nathan, did you have any other comments? Because I know you're going to sign off here in a minute. Did you have any other comments about this discussion before we...
Well, I just thank God for it because I believe many people were benefiting from hearing the truth.
Okay. Amen.
You know,
and Nathan, while
we know the truth sets us free.
Amen. Would you tell our listening audience, Nathan, what happens on Wednesday nights at Beacon of Hope and invite them, please?
Oh, please. If you're listening to this and you have Wednesday night free, please come. Please come. It is a wonderful, wonderful experience. We share. I mean, it's questions and answers, and it's not like a church service. It's a learning experience.
Interactive Bible study.
Word of God.
Right. Bring your Bible. Yeah.
Your questions. Yeah. Bring your Bible. Bring your notebook. Bring your pen. You know, because there are things that you will learn that will change your life.
Amen. It's how to walk in victory, don't you think, Nathan? It's how to put these principles into our daily lives and really, really understand them. You know, we try to give a lot of practical insight. So Wednesday night. Amen. Wednesday night at 7, prayer meeting at 6:15. So,
and if you have prayer requests, come at 6:15 and share your prayer requests, because God does answer prayer.
Amen. Ah, we see it all the time, don't we? I mean, huge answers to prayer, praise reports. So we thank God for that. And the prayer ministry is alive and well at Beacon of Hope. And we'll talk about that later on. But you can send prayer requests, even right now as we're on the air, you can send it to pastor@beaconofhopeministries.com. You can send it to prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. And we'll get your emails and we will follow up with you and pray for your needs. And it amazes me how many people do use our prayer line. It's international. You're welcome to use it at any time. prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. Nathan, thank you so much for being on this first hour. God bless you. We will see you Wednesday. And we thank God for the gifts of His Holy Spirit that live and reign on the inside of you, Nathan Burton.
Praise God. Praise God.
Station ID.
Bye-bye now.
WTAN Clearwater Tampa Bay, WDCF Dade City Tampa Bay, KLRG Sheridan Little Rock, and FM 94.5 K233BF Little Rock.
All right, that was just the voice of the owner of this station. Right, Cedric?
That's right.
That's Dave's voice. And Dave and his wife Lola own the station, and Dave turned 80 this weekend. Isn't that correct?
And we had a big party here.
Big party.
Right in the parking lot of the radio station.
All right. Yes. And so we just want to give our birthday wishes to Dave and what a special guy he is. And we all that are part of this station are excited to know him and know the family and be a part of this. So happy birthday to Dave. So anyway, if you just joined us, this is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries, and we are in Clearwater, Florida. That's where we are live every Sunday on the air at 4 o'clock, going till 6 o'clock Tampa time. And we are also on the internet. We are live streamed, www.tantalk1340.com. In addition to that, in fact, if you're listening on the radio right now and you want to switch over to the computer, you can do that, tantalk1340.com. Also, we are live in several states because this station owns some other stations in other areas. So for wherever you might be listening right now, we are glad that you're joining us and welcome to Living the Good Life. We take, because Cedric records, and it's wonderful, these shows, we take every show and we put it on our website, which is beaconofhopeministries.com. It'll be up there by sometime tomorrow. Our webmaster is in Georgia, Maxine. She does a great job, you know, just an excellent job of keeping things up to date on our website, www.beaconofhopeministries.com. Go there. You can hear a lot of our past shows. We're in our sixth year. Amazing, Cedric, to me. We are going to celebrate on the first Sunday of January our 300th show. And that's pretty... Wait a minute. Find my bell here. That's pretty cool. So we're in our sixth year and excited about it here on Tan Talk 1340. Carol, you've been a radio contributor, part of our radio team for a number of years. And we began this ministry in 07. I think you came on right away. I think you've been on almost since the beginning. And we're glad to have our radio contributors, our team. Otherwise, it'd just be me sitting there talking the whole time, right? So...
That's true.
Yeah, it's true. So anyway, Carol, as we go into this second hour, I want to emphasize what Paul is saying to Timothy, that we have got to keep this gift within us, this gift of power, love, and a sound mind. We have to keep that flame fanned and burning on the inside of each of us. We're going to look at some scriptures in 2 Corinthians that are powerful and Ephesians that I think will help our listening audience realize the importance of focusing on growing up in God. And instead of allowing the devil to take us down those paths we were talking about in our first hour, instead we get so into God's word and into his presence that we realize that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. That God and his mission for our lives, his plan for our lives, is more important than all of that. And there are people that have influenced us and affected us in our lifetime. that have been a blessing, that have pointed us in that direction. If you do not go to a good Bible teaching, word teaching church, you need to find one, and maybe this radio show is that for you, and that's great. And if that's the case, then praise God. But you need to get the word down on the inside of you. A couple weeks ago, we were privileged to have Ray Bolts live on the show with us. He's an internationally known singer-songwriter, a powerful man of God, has written some amazing songs. This song that we're going to play next has been on my heart ever since we played it on that show a couple weeks ago. I think it was 3 weeks ago. And the name of this song, written by Ray Bolts, is Thank You.
I dreamed I went to heaven, and you were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, and someone called your name. We turned and saw this young man, and he was smiling as he came. And he said, "Friend, you may not know me now." And then he said, "But wait, you used to teach my Sunday school when I was only eight. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am alive. That was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave." Then another man stood before you and said, "Remember the time missionary came to your church. His pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. Thank you for giving to Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave." One by one they came, as the eye could see, each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made, I noticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I am almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, "My child, look around you, for great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord. For I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord."
Praise God. I love that song. The people in our lives that have influenced us and blessed us, like Paul did for Timothy in the book of Timothy, that have ministered to us. We need to thank God for their effect on us. Let's go to Ephesians 3, and we'll bring Carol back in here in a minute. Ephesians 3, starting with verse 14. These are also the words of Paul to the church at Ephesus. And he says, my response is to get down on my knees before the Father, this magnificent Father who parcels out all heaven and earth. I ask him to strengthen you by his Spirit. Now that is the answer when we are facing all kinds of negative junk coming at us and people in our lives that may be trying to pull us down. Paul said, here's how I pray for you. I ask God to strengthen you by his Spirit. I'm reading now the Message Bible. Not a brute strength, but a glorious inner strength. A glorious inner strength that Christ will live in you as you open the door and invite him in. This is the answer to the negativity around us in our lives, that we be strengthened on the inside with a glorious inner strength so that we will live in a different place than what people around us would try to drag us down to. Paul says, and I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love. Both feet planted firmly on love. Remember, we just talked about 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And that's what Paul was reminding Timothy of. He said, God did not give you that fear. Don't forget what you have. You have power, love, and a sound mind. And so here's what Paul is saying in the book of Ephesians. I ask God that you have both feet planted firmly on love. And then you'll be able to take in with all the followers of Jesus the extravagant dimensions of Christ's love. Wow. You'll be able to begin to understand how much God loves you. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its length. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights. Live full lives full in the fullness of God. Live full lives full of God. Full of God. This is the antidote, if you will. The poison is the negativity that the devil throws at you and tries to get you down that path of accusation, of all kinds of fear and disappointment and discouragement and evil words and evil actions. And God's antidote for that, his answer to that poison, is that we become so full of God's love that it totally changes us and we live in the fullness of God. Carol, I want you to comment on that, because to me this is powerful, and this is what Paul was telling his spiritual son Timothy. You gotta understand the love of God. Are you there?
The reason some people have trouble understanding the love of God is a manifold situation. It's pure. It's honest. It's true.
Right.
It is not self-serving.
Right.
It is so powerful to know that someone loves you with the purity that God loves you.
Ooh,
because
yeah.
In our lifetime in normal circumstances on this earth, there's usually a condition tied to the love that we receive from other people, be it parents, siblings, friends, workers, whatever it might be. It's kind of like, I'll love you if you be good tonight. You know, if you be a good boy and you go to bed when it's time, mama or daddy will love you so much. Well, suppose I don't want to go to bed.
Right.
Are you going to take that love from me?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Are you not going to fill me? But Jesus doesn't say that.
No.
In Proverbs 3:24, when I lie down, I shall not be afraid. Yea, they shall lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And the undertone in that is, because I love you, I'm watching
yes,
over you.
Yes, yes.
And it's a comfort and a peace.
Right.
Knowing, you know, this world is a crazy place to live. And people, I got news for you. It's getting crazier by the day, by the minute.
Right.
And more people are going to be striking out at God's people.
Right.
In ways that are destructive, the tongue is mightier than the sword in many, many ways.
Right.
The tongue is simply, it's a fire against God's chosen.
Right.
And people will do it and use it to kill somebody else, to bring somebody else down, to destroy somebody else. Instead of taking the scriptures and reading to build someone up, instead of seeing someone who's downtrodden and going to them and say, look, brother, look, sister, this is a bad time for you now, but it won't be forever because God knows who you are. He knows your name. And you're not going to always be Billy, Bobby, Susie, Carol, or Maxine, or Marsha.
Right.
One day when we receive our reward, we have a new name, and only He knows what that name
mm-hmm.
is. And it was chosen for us out of pure love for us.
Right.
And we have to look forward to that.
Well,
this
amen.
This is not what everything is. When we read of these horrible killings and horrible deaths, that is not of God.
Right. And we've got to redirect our thought patterns, our mindset, and that's why I think Paul makes a big deal of this to Timothy, to fan the flame that of God's presence in Timothy's life and keep that gift stirred up and don't let it go dormant. If it goes dormant, like we all know, if a fire pit, if you don't keep fanning it with air, you don't put fresh logs on it or newspaper or whatever to keep it going, it's going to eventually go out. And I think this is what happens, Carol, with a lot of people. They just don't fan that flame. They're not in the Word. They're not praising God. They're not understanding or even studying the love of God. And they get caught up in all that junk, you know?
Well, it's too much for them to do because when you realize that you have a gift and you start trying to utilize that gift, that brings on more and more study. That brings on reading and researching and searching your heart and spending quality time with God away from the television set that's buzzing in your ear when you're trying to think, well, I'm going to pray right now, and then there's the scores on and your team is losing kind of
mm-hmm.
a thing.
Right.
Or when the kids are calling you from the kitchen or the grandkids and you're trying to have that quiet moment of prayer.
Right.
If you are going to be worthy of Christ serving you with a tremendous gift, you've got to utilize it. You've got to spend time with Him with it. You've got to understand that you have to seek wisdom from other people who are further into Scripture than you are. You just have to research for yourself to find out, number one, who are you? Do you have any malice in you? Do you have the tongue that spits out venom toward other people? Do you want to inform the world of what somebody really is like when you don't know what they're like?
Right.
Because you haven't spent quality time to find out what they are. When I read this 1 Timothy, and it says, God has not given us a power of fear, but a spirit of power, love, and sound mind also becomes self-discipline and self-control.
Mm-hmm. And that's what He's given us. Right.
If you, every time somebody comes to your door and knocks on it, say, hey, let's hit the road running, and I know where we can get anything that's illegal. If you don't say, I'm so glad to see you today, it's nice to see you, but I really can't go on that journey with you. I'd like to invite you in and talk to me about the journey I'm taking.
Right. Well, and we have to redirect. There's that word again. I'm going to take us over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 because it just, as you're talking about this, it reminds me again of something else Paul said. And he said this to the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 4, starting with about verse 5. And again, I'm in the Message Bible. Paul says, remember, our message is not about ourselves. We're proclaiming Jesus Christ, the Master. And dear listeners, that's what it's all about. We are proclaiming Jesus Christ, the Master. All we are messengers, errand runners from Jesus for you. It started out when God said, light up the darkness, and our lives filled up with light as we saw and understood God in the face of Christ, all bright and beautiful. I'm in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And here's what Paul further says. If you only look at us, you might well miss the brightness. We carry this precious message around in the unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives. I love that, Carol. That's to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power with us.
Yes.
You see, it's not us.
There's no power without him.
Right.
He embellishes our power. He provides our power. He gives us wisdom, strength, courage to do what he's asked us to do. The more we do, the bigger our call for gets, because we're finding ourselves recharged with energy,
right,
recharged with the word, recharged with wanting to tell other people about it.
Right. Absolutely. And Paul goes on here. I love these words here in the Message Bible. You know for yourselves that we're not much to look at. We've been surrounded and battered by troubles. Okay, that's life. But we're not demoralized. We're not sure what to do, but we know that God knows what to do. I love that right there, because no matter what you're going through, dear friend out there, you may not have any clue what to do in your situation, but we know that God knows what to do. And we've been spiritually terrorized, but God hasn't left our side. We've been thrown down, but we haven't broken. What they did to Jesus, they do to us. Trial and torture, mockery, murder. What Jesus did among them, he does in us. He lives. Our lives are at constant risk for Jesus' sake, which makes Jesus' life all the more evident in us. While we're going through the worst, you're getting in on the best. I love that section of scripture, because it says, yes, let's acknowledge it. We're going through hard times. There are things that happen to us that don't seem fair. There are things where people misunderstand us, maybe accuse us, maybe lie about us, whatever the case might be. And God says, you may not know what to do about that, but God knows what to do about it. And so you learn to give it to him and realize that in your weakness, his strength is made perfect.
Yes, and look down at 16, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart.
Amen.
Outwardly, we are wasting away.
Right.
But inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. How could you preach if you are not renewed by his word, by the people he has surrounded you with that
right.
love him and serve with you? How could you bring his message every single time that you do if you are not renewed day by day?
Amen.
I love the people that try to persecute a pastor or a messenger of God. I really enjoy watching them do their nasty, dirty deeds or whatever they are, because every time they throw an arrow,
right,
it turns right around. It doesn't hit the person they wanted it to hit.
Right.
It turns right around and returns right into their own lives.
Yeah, things happen.
And they're too ignorant to understand that it does.
Yeah.
But when it's one of those old things, what goes around comes around.
Yeah.
Or some people like to say karma.
Yeah.
I say Jesus, and he's standing ready to give you right back what you just threw at somebody else.
So it's not worth it. Not worth it to fall into that trap. And when we feel so weak, when we don't know how to respond or what to do in a given situation, God is reminding us today through the mouth of Paul here in these different passages that he's got a plan. He's got a plan that you may not see, you may not understand. But his strength is going to be made perfect in your weakness. Listen to this song, one of my favorites. We play it a lot on this show, by C.C. Winans. His strength is perfect.
I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. But sometimes success to show, no glory of my own, yet in my weakness he is there to let me know. His strength is perfect when our strength is gone. Raised in his power, though weak,
Praise God. He will carry us when we can't carry on. 2 Corinthians 4:16-18 in the Message Bible. Paul says this. So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though on the outside it often looks like things are falling apart on us, on the inside, where God is making new life, not a day goes by without His unfolding grace. These hard times are small potatoes, Carol, small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today and gone tomorrow, but the things we can't see will last forever.
That's right. And when you go to Exodus 14, He steps in the ring and He comes to us when we're in trouble. If we call on Him and ask Him, He's right there.
Right.
He's our double insurance policy.
Amen.
He's the fighter behind us. Mm-hmm. And He says in Exodus 14:14, remain calm. The Lord will fight for you. Well, honey, I don't need anybody else around me if I got the Lord fighting Amen. For me. And it's the same thing when you are facing a physical disability or illness, and the bearer of bad news is fear, and it's surrounding you, and you're like, or surrounding someone you know, and they say, well, I have this to do and that to do, and I'm fearful. I don't know. You don't need to know. That's just like I read something maybe a week or two ago that said, when somebody is talking bad about you, and they're spreading gossip about you, don't run to the nearest person they know and say, what are they saying? What are they doing? What's their plan?
Amen.
Because the person that tells us all is God, that says, we don't need to know.
Right.
It isn't our business. He'll take care of whatever they're saying or doing, whatever their words are, their actions, their intent. God takes care of it.
And He does it in such amazing ways. In all these years of ministry, I've seen this so many times. In fact, you know, we don't know what we're doing on the show. I mean, you know what I'm saying? We don't plan ahead except to have a general idea of what scripture, but we just let the Lord lead. So when you said that, it took me back to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 15. Paul says this, I'm sure you know by now, he's saying to Timothy, that everyone in the province of Asia deserted me. And Paul says this to Timothy, Carol. Yep. Everyone in the province of Asia deserted me, even Phlegas, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, and Hermogenes. But God bless Onesiphorus and his family. Many's the time I've been refreshed in that house, and he wasn't embarrassed a bit that I was in jail. The first thing he did when he got to Rome was look me up. May God on that last day treat him as well as he treated me. And then there was all the help he provided in Ephesus. But you know that better than I, is what he's saying to Timothy. Paul is saying, you know, I've been through so much in the ministry. There's been times that everybody's turned their back on me. Everybody, he says everyone in the province of Asia that he was ministering to, ended up turning their back on him. And yet there was one guy, Onesiphorus, who came and found him in jail where he was, I believe in Rome. And he found him and began to minister to his needs. Wow. Wow.
Yeah. You know, when we're hit by stones of discord, gossip, malignment, whatever it might be, hatred, somebody thinks they're getting even for whatever contrived reason they've chosen to use. One thing we always need to remember, and it's found in Psalm 62:6, and it is, He's my defender. I will not
Amen.
Be defeated.
Yes.
When are people going to realize that you can't be defeated if God is on your side?
Amen.
I have determined this a long time ago, and I've speak to a lot of people who call me, and they're being just maligned in every way. The world is falling apart. The bottoms of their shoes have come off, and they don't know how much further they can walk. I propose this. When you are in a situation that you know you cannot handle individually as a human being, you ask God to be with you.
Amen.
And He will be right beside
Amen.
You.
Amen.
And when the two of you stand together, you constitute the majority in any
Absolutely.
Situation.
Absolutely. And Carol, that's one of the reasons I love that song we just played. His strength is perfect when my strength is gone. You know, there are times physically, emotionally, I've been beat up a lot in the last few weeks. And I'll tell you, you know, when I am at my weakest, he is at his strongest in me.
That's exactly what it is.
Absolutely.
And that's what he likes to do. He
yes.
waits for us to, because we like to step in. We like to think we can do it. I can handle it. I'll call Carol and tell her what's happening, and I can handle it. But before the conversation is over, whoever has called me is saying, bottom line is, I don't know how to handle it.
Right.
And I will tell them.
Right.
All you have to do is say, God, I can't do it by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I need Jesus to help me. I need the
exactly.
Holy Spirit to give me wisdom.
Right.
And I say this to people who call me and they're looking for a job and they're on their last leg and a job they haven't had for 2 or 3 years. They've picked up a dime here, a dollar there, and they'll call and say, oh, I've got a good hope of a promise of a job. I got to go for an interview and I'm scared to death. I said, why? Why are you scared? Well, I have to go in there and interview. And I said, do you think God wants you to sit there pitiful and poor? Well,
right.
no, I wouldn't think so. I said, then why don't you do this? Why don't you ask God to send his son with you to intercede?
Hey.
Sit there the whole time right beside you, giving you confidence and courage and strength and wisdom.
Uh-huh. His strength is perfect in our weakness.
That's right. And that's what he wants us to do. He tells us, fight the battle that you can fight. And when it gets too much for you, call on me.
Well, absolutely. And he's with us. And he's in us. And I love this passage that Paul reveals that his ministry was not without dissension, without people coming at him and lying about him and deserting him and all of this. He said, but yet God sent a brother by the name of Onesiphorus and his family, and they are the ones that came and ministered to Paul. Carol, I've seen it through the years as a pastor so many times where it just seems like bad things are happening in the ministry, and yet God manages to send the right people at the right time to bring encouragement and strength or financial blessing or whatever it is. You know what I'm saying?
I certainly do. And, you know, God's phone number is very easy to remember.
It is, isn't it?
It's Jeremiah 33:3 when he says, call me.
Exactly.
You know, he can't do something for us. He wants to, but he waits for us to say, I can't do it. He waits for us to say, thou art weak, but I am strong.
Amen. Well, it's because he's given us a free will.
That song, we want to, you know, we should be saying, I'm weak, Lord. I'm weak. I don't have the strength physically. I don't have the strength emotionally. I don't have the spirituality
right.
to fight the evil of this world. And, you know, when you say, I am weak, but thou art strong, you're saying, God, I know I can't do it.
Carol,
no matter what I try to do by myself, I can't do it. But I know when I call you, you're going to be there and you're going to give me your strength.
Carol, you weren't at Beacon of Hope this morning, but the Holy Spirit, because you're in Georgia, but the Holy Spirit began to move. And as we were singing, I just felt very led to go into, Jesus loves me, this I know. And then, for the Bible tells me so, little ones to him belong, they are weak. But he is strong. And we sang that, yes, Jesus loves me. We just sang it over and over again. And it just, the anointing on that old little song from Sunday school hit us. And there was rejoicing around the room. Yes, Jesus loves me. We are weak, but he is strong.
That's right.
Whoa.
I know when I'm facing something, especially a medical issue.
Right.
That's one of the things I sing in my head. I sing it all the way to where I'm going. I've been known to burst out in song right there in the operating room before they put me to sleep or in the examining room.
Right.
I need to be reminded that Jesus loves me.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? I can say to people who call me, I'm not a singer. I certainly don't have a voice to do that. But so many times I have said to people who've called me, I want you to do this with me. I'm going to start a song, and I want you to sing it with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I sing it, and they're singing it. Now, if anybody were listening, it's probably the most gosh-awful sound they ever heard. But to God's ears, it is beautiful.
Amen.
And to their souls and to their hearts, I say, when we finish, I said, do you realize you just sang that Jesus loves you?
Mm-hmm.
Now take it and believe it and hold on to it. Make it be your mantra through whatever your situation is that you called me. Wear it proudly as a medal. Instead of wearing a little heart or instead of wearing a piece of jewelry, make that. Put it on your heart. Jesus loves me.
Amen. You know, Carol, we do the nursing home ministry the first Sunday of every month, and it was last Sunday. And it's at Palm Garden where our dear Jeannie used to live and also where my mother was for a period of time after a very bad fall. And so we love the people at Palm Garden, and we come and we have a big service there the first Sunday of every month. And there is one song that we have sung every single Sunday now for almost 2 years, because we've been doing that ministry. It'll be 2 years in October. And that song is this one. Jesus loves me, this I know. And we get them singing, and on that chorus, we get them to participate in it. Yes, and they throw their right arm up in the air. Yes, Jesus loves me. And I'll tell you what, Carol, when that happened this morning in our service at Beacon of Hope, the anointing was so strong today on the music. Oh my. And when we got to the point where God was saying, sing Jesus loves me, you know, reaffirm that down on the people's hearts. And people, I mean, it was an amazing move of God today with that old Sunday school song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones.
People realize that the words to that song are not just words.
Yeah.
It is a prayer to God saying, I finally realize
right.
You do love me. And I can see people being totally overwhelmed. And people like, you mean to tell me you do have a ministry there of working with other people? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You got a ministry at a nursing home.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
every month.
And I know y'all have seen this. When you're in there, some of those people are totally abandoned.
Right.
Their family,
yes, we
their
have.
Families.
Mm-hmm.
Their families are away. Their children are in other parts of the state, other parts
right.
of the world. So they're in there by themselves and feeling pretty lonely, like there's nobody that I know that loves me.
Right.
When you sing that, all of a sudden the realization is, even though I might be 90 or 85 or 77 or good heavens 69, I still know in my heart of hearts that Jesus loves me.
Amen.
If you remember, Pastor, it doesn't go, Jesus loves me because I'm rich. Jesus loves me because I'm whatever.
Right. No, it doesn't. He just simply loves me. But Carol, this is what Paul said to Timothy. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Come on. God loves us.
A mind that will not think of porno.
Yes.
A mind that will not say, oh gosh, I just feel like today is a day I just ought to go out and kill somebody because they've got a nice house and a good car, and here I am walking on my feet every day.
Yeah.
I think I'll go out and rob them and steal from
them. Oh, there's too much of that going on in this world. But, you know, when we know and we realize how much God really loves us, it changes our view of each day when we get up. It's just, and to know that other people love us and come behind us with that love, that is what Paul was reminding Timothy of. You know, Carol, we've never talked about this, but we have in the last few months been closing our nursing home Sunday services with that old chorus, I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. I can see in you the glory of my King. And I love you with the love of the Lord. And as we go around, we just hug them and touch them and tell them how much we love them. We're an extension of God's love that is working on the inside of us and causing us to reach out to these, most of them in wheelchairs.
That's right.
And, you know, I got to say this before we play the song. Last Sunday, Nan, some of our people take turns doing the little talk. And last Sunday it was Nan. And when I got in there, I was running late from another appointment from church. And I got in there and I was kind of running to start the first song and all that. And I look over and there's Nan sitting in a wheelchair, Carol.
Yep.
And So after we did a bunch of singing, because they love to sing, we take percussion instruments and they play the percussion instruments. And so we're singing and having a good old time. And then I turned around to Nan and I said, Nan, what are you doing in a wheelchair? And she said, oh, I'm so glad you asked. And she taught for just 5 minutes on how God feels what we feel, you know,
right.
And how he is right there with us and he loves us so much. And, you know, she said, I wanted to, and she did. She rolled down the entire hallway in that wheelchair to get a feeling of what some of those dear ones felt like all the time. And God, the word says he feels what we feel. He knows the pain. He's been there. He's been betrayed. He's been maligned. He's been accused falsely. All of that. He knows what it is we feel.
Can you imagine if you can go to the garden when Jesus asked Peter to be there with him and to kind of look out for him? We've done that for people. We said, I'm going in this building. I don't feel secure or safe in there, or I'm going into this situation I don't really understand or whatever. I would like for you to watch for me, just like he said to Peter, watch for me.
Right.
And then Peter betrayed him.
Right.
Can you imagine the loneliness, the desperation in his heart? Even though he knew it was coming,
it still hurt.
It hurt him to the core of his being.
Yes, it still hurt.
Just like we get hurt to the core,
yes,
of our being when someone betrays us or tells things out of school or does things to hurt us. Maybe they hurt our animals. Maybe they destroy personal property. Whatever it takes to get to us in a negative way, they will do. That's why we have to always sing the song to ourselves, Jesus loves me, yes, I know.
Amen.
Because the Bible tells me so. I've been at some low points in my life when I wasn't sure anybody that had two legs walking or rolling in a wheelchair or skipping down the sidewalk on a skateboard had any clue that I existed, and certainly didn't know that I needed a positive word that day.
Right.
And yet, I throw one up. An album that is a spiritual album, and I realize, wait a minute, I am a child of the
right.
King. I am of royal blood.
Amen. Praise God. Yes.
I am his.
Yes.
I'm not by myself. I'm sitting in this house by myself. Get over my pity party. I
right.
think it's time for me to start praising God, saying hallelujah, amen. I know you. You're the king of my life. You've got a new name for me, and I'm excited about it.
Woo, amen. That's a perfect segue into Through It All by Sela, my dad's favorite song.
I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There've been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials only come to make me strong.
Places and I've seen so many faces, but there have been times I felt so all alone. But in that lonely hour, in that precious lonely hour, Jesus let me know I was his own.
His word could do. That's the reason I say that through it all,
help me see
through it all.
Praise God. I love that old song, Carol. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. I've learned to depend upon His Word. That was my dad's favorite song. He loved it. Nathan would play it on the piano sometimes when Nathan was there for a Sunday dinner. The Nathan that was on the show just a few minutes ago, our keyboard player. And my dad would turn to Nathan and say, please play my favorite song. And he'd go to my piano and he'd play Through It All. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through all the stuff we go through, that's how we learn trust. If we never had a problem, we'd never know that God could solve it. That's
If you don't have a problem, you can't have a victory.
Yeah, amen.
And your father knew that. Look how many times that you know in your life, walking shoulder to shoulder in his footsteps, did you see him minister to people and go through trials and trials and trials.
Absolutely.
And out of it all, he could sing that because he knew that his help came from Jesus Christ being there with him, for them, guiding him and directing him, and helping him get other people. I tell you right now, I firmly do believe your mom and dad are having a serious celebration.
Oh, you know they are. She's only been up there not even 2 weeks yet, and I know they're having fun. I know they're rejoicing together, and you know, both of them were people of faith, Carol.
They were
people that stepped out in faith in 1958 and made a decision to go to the mission field and take my sisters and I, even though we were very young, and take us to Central America and, you know, live there and minister to people. And that was a huge step of faith that my parents took, you know, because
that period of time,
and there was a lot of guerrilla mountain warfare. A lot of things were going on at that time in the country of Guatemala, and there were just some dangers, some real dangers. But God spoke to my dad's heart, and my mother said, "Yes, I feel that too." And they were called out of the United States to go to the mission field. It totally changed my life. I probably wouldn't even be sitting here right now on the radio had my parents not obeyed God clear back then and fulfilled the call of God on their lives. And that's really what we're saying here today on this show. Paul is saying to Timothy, you've been called, Timothy. You have a plan. God has a plan for your life. God has a purpose for you. It's not happenstance that you have been called into the ministry, Timothy. Fulfill the call of God on your life. Some of you out there in radio land need to be encouraged today that you can draw on the strength of God and do what he's called you to do. Carol, you got a comment to that?
Yes, I do. I think people like Joan, and she knows who she is. I think people like Maxine, and she knows who she is. I think about everybody, Nathan. I think about Connie. I think about everybody that we both know that serve God in the ways that he has ordained for them to serve need to know one thing. They're victorious because they proclaim him. They use their gifts for the betterment of his kingdom, and they will never be forgotten by him.
Amen. Amen.
And for those of you who are sitting out there going, are they talking about me? Yes, we are. Bobby, Billy, Susie, Jane,
right.
Lamar, Travis, Travis, whoever you might
be. Right, exactly.
You are important to the kingdom of Jesus Christ.
And when Paul says to Timothy, you need to fan the flame of the gift that God has given you, which is his presence in your life. And Paul says in 2 Timothy 1:7, and I've said it several times during the show, so write it down. God has not given you, Paul said to Timothy, a spirit of fear. That didn't come from God. That comes from the devil. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And dear one, you need to be walking in that, the power of God, so that you can speak to that mountain and say, be taken up and cast into the sea, so that you can believe God for the miracles that you need in your life. You've got the power right now to do that. In the name of Jesus, you have the power to defeat the enemy's work in your life. You have the power to stand against the negativity that may be coming at you from other people. You got the power, the love, and the sound mind.
In all of those things, we've got to remember one thing, that we need to forgive as he forgives
us. Amen.
It does not mean we need to lick somebody's bootstraps. It means we need to forgive so we can move on and do what he has for us. We don't want our hardened hearts or our ignorance or whatever it might be to keep us away from his grace, his mercy. We need to say, okay, you came at me the hard, long way. Got my hand up, saying you're not going to do it again. I'm moving on. I'm listening to my master. I'm going to do what I've been ordained to do.
Amen. Amen. You know,
I made that my life mantra when I came up here. I said, never again, never again will I allow any person to tell me that God has not gifted me because
right.
I know better.
And so some of you out there right now that maybe have been beat down, have been told that God can't use you for whatever reason, or maybe it's just the devil has told you that and messed with your head, stand against that right now in Jesus' name. We agree with you right now that you are more than a conqueror, that you're an overcomer, that no matter what the devil has tried to throw at you, you can overcome by the blood of the Lamb. That's Revelation 12, 10 to 12, and the word of your testimony. I'm going to come back to you for a final comment in a minute, Carol. Cedric, I want to go back to track 5, His Strength is Perfect. I just keep feeling we're to play it again for someone. His strength is perfect when my strength is gone.
I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Success to show, no glory of my own, yet in my weakness he is there to let me know his strength is perfect when our strength is gone.
God, his strength is perfect. So if you're feeling weak and distraught and maybe beat up and just downtrodden, whatever, just know that God's strength is going to pull you through whatever difficult time you're having. Carol, give us a final word here before we do a wrap up.
It doesn't matter what your weakness is, whether it be emotional, physical, spiritual, remember, you're not in it alone. All you have to do is reach out your hand and say, God, be with me. Send me your angels. Send me your son, Jesus Christ. And I will rest in his peace, and I will renew myself in his strength.
Amen. Amen. So we just plug on. We just move forward. That's what Paul did. That's what Timothy did. And that's the admonition that we have today, that we draw on the strength of God, even though we may not have any idea how we're going to even do this next thing that we got to do, or even put our foot on the floor and get out of bed tomorrow. And so whatever it is you're going through, we speak God's peace and wisdom to you right now. Let me pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful listening audience. We thank you that today there are lives that have been touched by these words. We thank you that there are lives that have been encouraged by your word to us. And Lord, let them realize that their strength is made strong because of Jesus on the inside of them. If there are any that are listening that do not know you as Lord and Savior, let them accept you right now into their heart and accept that the free gift of salvation, and know that God the Father sent Jesus to this earth to die on a cross for us, and that God raised him up. He's a risen Lord, and that we can forever have the Lord Jesus living on the inside of us. So, Lord, we thank you for any decisions that might be being made right now or later as people listen to this on our website. God bless each of you. Have a great week. It's not far to Jesus. This has been Pastor Marcia McAllister with some of our radio team, Nathan and Carol, and speaking words of life to you today. And if you want to be a financial partner with us, go to our website, beaconofhopeministries.com. We have PayPal there. You can give an offering, a tithe, that will go immediately go into payment on our radio show. So if you want to do that, go to beaconofhopeministries.com. God bless you. Don't forget, the prayer line is prayers@beaconofhopeministries.com. Let us hear from you. God bless you. Have a great week. And we'll see you again live next Sunday at 4 o'clock on this radio station. See ya.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. KLRG, Sheridan, Little Rock. And FM 94.5, K233BF, Little Rock.